Welcome into Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf and Gavin Shaw here, and we have reached the end of our May mailbag episodes here. Gavin, we got our last minute questions that snuck in. People probably thought, oh no, I missed it. But guess what? We're going to get to these questions today.
Yeah, we are. We are going over a theoretical Emmanuel Quickley trader, or rather the theoretical possibility of him being traded. Then a more theoretical, hopefully very theoretical, D'Angelo Russell for Julius Randle trade. And finally, how much pressure is there on Leon Rose this offseason? All that and more right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts without a five. Ewing for the win. Yes.
Up, puck left. Now fires it.
He's good. And he's fouled.
Anthony for three.
All right, welcome in to Locked On Knicks. We want to thank you guys for making Locked On Knicks your first listen today and every day, whether you're checking us out on your favorite podcast platform or on our new home on YouTube, where we put out episodes every day. We appreciate you guys making us part of your daily routine and all through the offseason. I know a few of you have said, like in the YouTube comments or whatever, like, wow, thanks for putting out episodes every day. We'll keep doing it. We'll keep doing it. We're a daily podcast, man. We'll find stuff to talk about. Luckily, you guys helped us out a little bit today with the mailbag. But anyway, I'm Alex Wolf. I'm editor-in-chief of Knicks site, The Strickland, which you can find at thestrick.land. He is Gavin Shaw, your favorite play-by-play broadcaster's favorite play-by-play broadcaster. And Gavin, I will not hold this up any further and get us right into these questions. So this first one comes to us all the way from Scotland, from our buddy, our new buddy, Matt, who wrote in an email to us. First off, just saying that he really enjoys the podcast, that he took a trip to New York over this past year and saw a Knicks game for the first time and like fell in love with the team and with basketball and now listens to us like every day. So first off, Matt, thank you so much for listening to us every day. It really warmed our hearts reading stuff like that. If you guys ever... If anybody else would ever want to send us a heartwarming email, you can always hit us up at lockedonknicks@gmail.com.
They're nice to get. We love them.
Yeah, we love hearing about stuff like that. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy. But so Matt also asked at the end of the email, Gavin, what do you think are the percentage chances of IQ being traded? He said he's just bought an IQ Classic Swingman jersey and would be devastated if he leaves. I know the feeling all too well, Gavin. I've had many jerseys become invalidated by trades and stuff. What do you think? I mean, we've talked about this a little bit on some shows recently, but what do you think are the percentage chances of IQ being traded? Or maybe the better way to put it would be, what do you think is the scenario where IQ might get traded?
Yeah, I'll give them both since Matt wrote us such a nice email and messaged him so far away. But I put it like 15%. I think I really don't think it's likely. I think the only scenario where he would be is in a superstar trade. Because his contract, obviously, at this point, the pre-extension, like, doesn't have really any value in a sign-in trade outside of his talents as a player. And when you're doing a sign-in trade, it means someone already wants to come to you. So there's no real incentive, unless it's a restricted free agency scenario, to give up a piece like Emmanuel Quickley. So it's only going to be if they're trading for, I mean, some of the guys we mentioned, like a Donovan Mitchell or a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And the odds are just, I mean, I think the odds are against either of those guys or anyone in that mold being dealt, period. The odds of those guys being dealt specifically to the Knicks, as much as we've talked about them, as much as we can hope and be interested and discuss scenarios where they'll happen, I think are pretty low. And the fact is, I do believe that there are people, both in the Knicks front office and on the coaching staff, that are invested in Emmanuel Quickley. Apologies to whoever had it, but there was a report this week that there were Knicks assistants that were pushing for Emmanuel Quickley to start and to play more. I do think this front office, at the very least, even if you can question some of the stuff they do, I think they are smarter than past Knicks front offices. And I just have to think they recognize what they have in this guy and that he represents, along with RJ Barrett, along with Obi Toppin, along with Quinn Grimes, along with a bunch of other young guys on this team, a sustainable build that the Knicks haven't had in two decades at this point. And I think to pivot off of that, again, it has to be something really, really enticing. And the odds of that actually being available are unlikely. Alex, one of the scenarios we discussed yesterday was the Knicks moving up in the draft. I mean, could you see that as a possibility for how they potentially move Emmanuel quickly?
I don't think in this draft I could see that happening. You know, we also talked about the other day how sort of flat this draft is after the top four, maybe five picks, if you consider Shaedon Sharpe to be that type of guy. And, you know, I did specifically the scenario that I brought up the other day was potentially moving up to like number five. I just feel like if the Knicks are going to do that, that means like moving up in the draft says I'm all in on the youth movement, because then you're saying, look, I want to move up to get a better young player to add to the group of young players we already have that we obviously believe in. I feel like the Knicks would sooner give up more draft capital in a scenario like that, because they have excess coming up. You know, they have a couple of Detroit second rounders, which may as well be late first. They have the Dallas first rounder, which is an actual late first. They have all their own first round picks going forward. Like, I think if they were going to move up in the draft, they would want to do draft for draft and not have to move one of the young players that they would want to pair, say, Shaedon Sharpe with or whatever, in order to get Shaedon Sharpe. It's like, you know, the classic conundrum of like, you know, giving up your prized possession to be able to afford something new or whatever. You know, it's like you wouldn't, I don't think they would want to do that. That's kind of where I'm at. And like, if I was going to address the general gist of the question, I would put the percentage pretty low as well. I mean, I don't want to go too low and then potentially have someone like pull a receipt on me later or something, but let's say like 25%, like I'll leave the door open for like a Donovan Mitchell trade or something like that. That's maybe too high. I mean, that's a 1 in 4 chance, but still leaves 3/4 of the time that Quickly's not going to get traded. I just think if one of those big star trades comes up, they're going to want to leave RJ Barrett off the table so that they could pair whoever they trade, you know, the package for with RJ Barrett. And if that's the case, then Emmanuel Quickly's the next best asset on the team, I think. And I feel like other teams around the league would feel that way as well. And therefore, unfortunately, he would probably be included in the deal, but I don't think it's super likely either. So, Matt, I do think your jersey should be okay, and you shouldn't have to worry too much. I will move to our next question, though. This is one off of Twitter. This comes from Tony Castella at Tony and I. Good what if question. What if the Knicks signed Jimmy Butler when he was a free agent? I don't know why he would have come here over Miami, but he could have changed. Would he have changed or ruined the culture? Because he's a great competitor. Gavin, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so if I'm remembering correctly, that was the 2019 offseason.
Same year as Durant and Irving and everything. Yep.
Yeah. So
and Julius Randle.
there you go. Well, if the Knicks hadn't signed Julius Randle, that would have changed a whole lot, right? I mean, it would have. To Tony's point, I don't see why I would have come here. But in the world that he just desperately wanted to be a Knick, I think you would have just basically had a more sustainable version of what we saw from Julius Randle last year, right? They would have gotten 3 seasons of that. The scary what if is maybe he would have been good enough that David Fizdale would still be the Knicks coach, which would not be a scenario that any of us are a fan of. But assuming I think it would have blown up, honestly, is the best way I can frame it. Like, I think the first year would have been really bad because that was the team where Kevin Knox was playing, or that was Knox's second year, I guess. But the point is it was not a good team. It was RJ Barrett's rookie year. They would have been pretty bad. I don't think Butler would have been any happier there than he would have been in Minnesota. But I think in this hypothetical world Tony's living in, you get through that first year. You get into the second year where you have a really good team around him, and maybe you have Randle and Butler last year. I still think the Knicks probably top out in the conference finals. Maybe they get by Philadelphia with their injuries and stuff, but there's no way they were beating that Bucks team. So there would have still been a cap ceiling. Would have been cool to have him mentor RJ Barrett. I guess that's maybe the one kind of positive thing that could have come out of it.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I mean, I think that would be the best positive. I mean, we've already seen Jimmy Butler's already sort of taken RJ Barrett under his wing from afar, in the sense of like every time that the Knicks play the Heat, he's just like in RJ's ear, like 24/7, you know, like, and they're talking to one another the whole game. You could see Jimmy like literally pointing things out to RJ and like teaching him the game while they're on the floor, like, you know, lining up for a free throw rebound against each other, that sort of thing. So having him be that consistent presence for him, I think would be great, especially because RJ's a guy that we often compare to Jimmy Butler as far as like a ceiling comparison for RJ. So that part would be great. I think actually, Gavin, there's a world where they could have had both. They could have had Jimmy and Julius Randle because we were talking about scenarios where they could have had, obviously, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
There was also scenarios where they, you know, we once Randle started coming up in connection with the Knicks, then we were talking about potentially Durant and Randle, stuff like that, or Butler and Randle, or Kemba Walker and Randle back then. That was also a possibility in 2019. It's such a different world now. But like, you know, there was a chance that both of them could have been on the team. That could have either gone one way or the other, right? I think there was a chance where it would have blown up, where Butler and Randle wouldn't have gotten along because Randle would have still wanted to be like the alpha dog or whatever, thinking that he was signed to like sort of be that, even with Butler being signed at the same time. And maybe they butt heads and then things just don't work out, in which case Randle probably would have been traded like before last season or something. Like they would have just said, nope, cut bait, gone, sign somebody else, you know, in the 2020 free agency class. Maybe Gordon Hayward or something would have come instead. Or the alternative to that is that it worked out really good. And, you know, it's possible that by coming in and having a defined alpha in front of him, that Julius would have never had to do what he did last year, which obviously was amazing during the COVID year, and maybe ends up, you know, in a scenario where he's sort of deferring to Jimmy Butler and, you know, continues playing the role that he played more in New Orleans, where he was more of like a secondary guy rather than a primary. Who knows, though? I think there's, again, there's multiple ways things could have gone, because it's also like, do you get the Jimmy Butler that's a great mentor to young players, or do you get the one that's sort of forced his way out of various situations by being like kind of a jerk? You know, it's like there's no way to fully know. So I'll just leave it as I don't know. I think the scariest part, though, is definitely what you said, that it could have led to Fizdale still being the coach of the Knicks. So I'm going to just chalk it up as a win no matter what.
Yeah, it's interesting to compare, not to go too far down the road, but the Knicks and the Heat roster, and just say, where would Butler have had the better supporting cast? I think you have to give it to Miami, just because Bam is, I would say, so much better than anyone else on the Knicks. But some of the young guys around Butler, like having that much shooting with, like, he hasn't had, I guess you could say hero, but quickly would kind of be your hero replacement. And someone like Grimes, I think, would just be such a good fit playing off him as sort of a better version of those Gabe Vincent or Max Strus types. I don't know. It could have been interesting, but again, not the worst thing in the world, given some of the possible outcomes there. But if you were going to bet on that back in the day, or if you want to bet on something in the future, there's only one place you can go. It's betonline.net. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. I haven't been able to check out the updated odds quite yet, but I would still throw some money down on the Boston Celtics to win the NBA championship. I think Milwaukee and Phoenix have to be ahead of them after tonight. And Milwaukee just honestly looks like the tougher team. But I think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Giannis is inhuman. I think he has to have a breaking point. I think Boston, talent-wise, is the best team in the league at this point. I think they have a chance to win the last two games, get out of the Eastern Conference, and beat whoever comes out of the West. So I'd throw some money down on that. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts. And with that, we are back on Locked On Knicks, and we are continuing this last part of what has been a fantastic mailbag. Shout out to all of you, specifically our god Jordan Bubb, asking all the great questions. This one comes from FC at Frazier D. Coleman, longtime question asker. Shout out to you, Frazier. He wants to know, for a future mailbag, which is right now, it's a present mailbag, is a Randle for Russell trade and adding a lotto pick a decent offseason? His case, Russell is an upgrade over Burke / IQ / Deuce and the size Tibbs wants. Strategically, he's an expiring deal in 2023, creating cap to add another piece before re-signing him. Alex, I will push back on that notion and say I think Emmanuel Quickley might just be a better player than D'Angelo Russell, making a lot less money, but I'll throw it over to you for your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, when we were looking at this too, initially we both thought D'Angelo Russell, but then I'm also looking and wondering, like, this is definitely D'Angelo, right? It's not Russell Westbrook, right?
Oh, wow. I did not even. Yeah, that's. Well, can I just
let's,
don't.
Let's quickly break down both because we don't know which it is for sure, whether we're doing last name or last
name. I'm kind of stunned in the moment. But yeah, I just can't imagine anyone who would consider Russell Westbrook an upgrade over Emmanuel quickly. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at, like, I mean, I can't see many Minnesota trading D'Angelo Russell plus a lotto pick.
Yeah, it might be Russell Westbrook.
So maybe it's Westbrook. I don't know. Either way, I'm not really. Yeah. Either way, I'm not really inclined to take that deal. Also, I think both are expiring next summer too. That makes it even harder. There's no way to narrow this down. This is a good brain bender. But I think no matter what, I wouldn't do this deal. As far as if it's D'Angelo Russell, I get the appeal. You know, a lot of Knicks fans were into the idea of signing D'Angelo Russell back in, I think that was also another 2019, you know, free agent that the Knicks had potentially available to them. I mean, I can get the appeal. You know, he's still pretty young. He's like a 20-point-per-game scorer, but his efficiency still doesn't wow me. I would rather give the reins to Emmanuel quickly than trade for him. I don't think he's a needle mover. You know, I think that obviously Minnesota was good enough to make the play in this year and all that good stuff, but I feel like you could take him and replace him with like Patrick Beverley, for example, on that team and not skip a beat despite, you know, Patrick Beverley not being able to do anything that D'Angelo Russell does on offense. So I'm just not in love with him. If it's Russell Westbrook, one pick is not enough to have me take Russell Westbrook. And I certainly don't consider Russell Westbrook a playing improvement over anybody on the Knicks roster, because I think that he's just completely washed up at this point. And, like, honestly, the worst part about him, like, the part that is the most detrimental to him isn't his legs or his arms or his lungs or anything else at this point. It's his brain in between his ears, because Russell Westbrook still operates as if he's, you know, a guy that should be taking like 25 shots a game and all this other stuff. And yet he's just not that guy anymore. Like, he shouldn't be a primary option or the focal point of anything. And he literally did that sort of crap on a LeBron James team this year. In a year when LeBron averaged like 30 points per game. So it's, I think Westbrook is just like beyond, I don't know, just beyond trading for as a guy that you think can upgrade your basketball team at this point. The only way I would be down for a potential Russell Westbrook trade is if the Knicks say, okay, we'll send like some actual NBA players over to LA and get back like two future picks and then just part ways with Russell Westbrook one way or another, whether it's sending him to another team or cutting him or whatever the case may be. Like, do what you got to do that way. But yeah, I'm not at all in favor of trading for Russell Westbrook at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to do it for a future unprotected pick, just because the Lakers are on such shaky ground. And there was I think it was an LA Times article this week where Jeannie Buss was talking about how Phil Jackson has heavy influence and Magic Johnson has influence again. And our, I won't even, I'll say his name, Kurt Rambis, our favorite booty Twitter fan. He still has influence apparently. So, I would look at that as a pretty good investment. Even if you just waive Russell Westbrook and eat the money, I know it's an enormous amount of money to eat. And I think, I assume if you do that, you got to send out like an Evan Fournier and Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel. Obviously, like, you got to give them some money. And the Lakers, I think, are trying to get someone who can help them win next year for that Russell Westbrook spot, because they're desperate to maximize this very quickly closing LeBron window. And maybe they consider Julius Randle that guy. But if you give me a completely unprotected Lakers pick in a couple of years, I'm kind of salivating. Like, I think that could be a top five, top 10 pick, which is, it's like one of the most valuable assets in the NBA to have also, like, if you're looking to turn that into a star trade down the road. So that would certainly intrigue me for Russell Westbrook. For D'Angelo Russell, I'm with you. I just have no interest. I give him credit. I think he's improved a lot as a player since he's been in Brooklyn, particularly on defense. He's gone from like one of the worst in the league to merely below average. But watching him in the playoffs, he had a real like deer in the headlights look. And that's not to say, look, Emmanuel quickly hasn't proven a single thing in the playoffs yet. So who knows, he might be exactly the same, but I'm not like, point guard is a position that is so deep like, I think D'Lo is essentially league average. Like, I'm not investing heavy assets in that. And to your point, which I'm starting to think now it is Russell Westbrook, like Minnesota would, I don't think, would give up a first round pick in that trade. But who knows? Maybe they would if they really liked that season 2 years ago from Julius Randle and don't see a future with D'Lo on their roster.
Yeah, it's both intriguing in their own way, but both deals that I ultimately would not go out of my way to look for if I was the Knicks, especially trying to trade Randle. Try to find a team that'll maybe give you some more players that you could pair with your young core right now rather than just a salary dump and future pick compensation. That would probably be my thought at the moment. But at any rate, the Knicks or other teams might need to fix up their roster. You might need to fix up your car, which is where I tell you that this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. And you guys know with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you want to endure all the pointless and intimidating questioning about all the finer details of your car, followed by the person behind the counter spending a long time to look up the part that you need, and then they choose the brand that they carry, and especially the one that's going to make them the biggest commission, and sell you that, and then you look at the price tag, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is so expensive, but fine, I need the part, you know, whatever. And then they order it and they say, okay, well, I'll just show back up here in a couple days. And then you have to drive back to the store, pick up your part, go home. By the time all the money and time and everything you've invested in it, you think to yourself, man, I may as well have just gone to the mechanic and just done it that way. Well, this is where rockauto.com comes in. Why would you want to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, if you're fixing up the family van, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, just $216 from rockauto.com. So you could save enough to take the whole family of, what do minivans hold, seven? Whole family of seven out for pizza. You know, that's probably about a $100 bill. You'd still have a few dollars left over. You'd have, I mean, my goodness, Rock Auto, saving you a whole dinner and then some for the whole family. Well, speaking of family, Rock Auto is a family business. They've been taking care of do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. So if you buy from Rock Auto, you know you could do so with confidence as well. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And if you do, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And Gavin, we roll right along in our man, I was gonna make a Rock Auto joke. I don't know. I just lost it. I was like, we're rolling right along as if we just fixed ourselves up with Rock Auto parts, whatever. Anyway, we're on to our next question, getting towards the end of this May mailbag. Our buddy Fraser D. Coleman again has another question. This question came in like right at the end of when we were asking for mailbag questions. But right like after the NFL draft. So Fraser wanted to know, he was going to ask if you think pressure on Leon Rose to nail the draft in free agency has increased given that the Jets and the Giants had stunning weekends at the NFL draft. I feel like those are kind of impossible standards to meet because both those teams had multiple first round picks, which in the NFL draft is an even bigger anomaly than in the NBA draft. Like, this year in the NFL draft was really bizarre from the perspective of there was like nine teams that didn't have first-round picks, and that normally does not happen. So both the Jets and Giants had two first-round picks. The Jets wound up trading back into the first round, having three first-round picks. Both teams, I think, nailed it. You know, I do agree with that. But ultimately, I would say that, say, the success of the Celtics this year or something, or the fact that the Raptors did as well as they did, you know, minus some of their players for part of the year or whatever, and minus Kyle Lowry this year, or, you know, just successes of some of the other teams in division or in conference or whatever in the actual NBA, I think that has a lot more bearing on Leon Rose's job security than anything that the Jets or Giants do, just because I doubt Dolan really cares, would be my answer there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just think, like, look, the Knicks have maximized what they've had in the last couple of drafts. Like, I don't – like, you could – obviously last summer initially looked really terrible for the Knicks in terms of how things happened. But then as the season went on, like, Quinn Grimes started looking like a brilliant draft pick. Evan Fournier looked like a fine signing, if not a great one. And Kemba Walker being such a bad mistake, I think, was more so because of Tibbs' usage of him than the fact that the Knicks gave him a two-year, $16 million contract. Like, it wasn't a deal that was backbreaking. It was a good risk. We were all on board with it as a risk. It was that Tibbs kind of just kept playing him. It's weird to say after, like, as frustrating of a season as the Knicks have, but I don't think this front office should be on the, like, proverbial hot seat. I know that's not the question. I know I'm sort of taking it in a different direction because I think it's maybe a more interesting one. But I don't know. I think they've, by and large, done a pretty good job. Obviously, we could pick out specific areas where they've had faults. But overall, I'm at least certainly relative to past front offices, I'm pretty happy with it. And that kind of leads us into our final question from Adrian Chatham, my guy, who I saw the new Batman movie with. A shout out at MagicAge683 on Twitter, and he said, "With the media scrutiny we have taken over the years, do you think it would be more prudent for Leon Rose or World Wide West to be more visible? I thought it was a good move to go less is more, especially when our owner would go on radio and call shots that look terrible in hindsight. What do you guys think?" Alex, I think even though he asked this question about a week ago, particularly well-timed after Sean Marks came out today and basically did all he could to, like, burn Kyrie Irving without saying the guy's name. But maybe a reminder that sometimes the best thing you could do is just not talk and not make any waves.
Yeah, and, you know, it depends on the type of GM too, right? Like, the thing that has always made the whole Leon Rose situation funny to me, and even dating back to, like, Steve Mills and Phil Jackson, even, you know, like, the various front office, you know, heads of the Knicks, like, they never really say anything in these press conferences. You know, it's just platitudes. Like, what Leon Rose said in the interview with Mike Breen is exactly what he would have told Ian Begley or Mark Berman or whomever asking questions at a press conference. Like, he knew what he was going to say. He had a script. He stuck to it. He was not going to, like, go out there and reveal state secrets. Leon also is not the type that would go out there and just start, like, randomly crapping on his own players or his own staff or anything. Like, he was very diplomatic in that, you know, sit down with Breen, even about, like, Randall and all that stuff. You know, he was very, like, chilled out and had, like, planned answers and everything else. He would come out with the exact same stuff if the media asked him questions, and they could ask him a million times over, "Do you think Julius Randle is a bum?" And he would just come back and say, you know, "Not at all. You know, we like where we're going. Julius has told us he wants to remain a Knick. That's that." And that would be it. Even if none of that's true. Like, it's just not in Leon Rose's personality to go out there like Sean Marks and basically call his players lazy. You know, he's not going to do that because he's a former agent. And he understands how to play that part of the game, you know, as far as you don't want to, like, crap on your players. You want your players to look like attractive, you know, trade assets or what have you. So, yeah, I would not see that happening. The Marks press conference was hilarious as a Knicks fan and also kind of a disaster. I mean, I read and listened to some of the quotes from that thing, and I was just like, what was he thinking saying all these things? Like, not even just calling out Kyrie, but also, you know, sort of calling out Ben Simmons too, who hasn't even suited up for a single game with them yet. You know, talking about, like, we need guys that are dedicated to being here and yada, yada, yada. Like, I mean, it's just rough time in Nets land right now, man. And I'm sure Kevin Durant more than once has looked at that new extension that he inked and has started to sort of second guess a little bit based off what's going on with how the team is sort of imploding at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you never hear it from Knicks fans, right? In terms of the calls for Leon Rose to talk more, like, or rarely you hear it from Knicks fans. It's usually like the Mark Steins of the world. It's people outside the organization who want to turn into, like, an LOL Knicks scenario. Like, oh, he won't even talk. Like, I to your point, I don't think you're getting, like, much in terms of valuable insight. Like, if you want, like, positive platitudes about the young guys, like, listen to this podcast, listen to Knicks Film School, listen to Knicks Fan TV. Like, we'll talk up the young guys all the time. Like, and if you want Leon Rose to, again, go out and rip Julius Randle or rip Tibbs, what is advantageous about that? How does that benefit him? How does that benefit the New York Knicks? It doesn't. It would create more tension. It would create a more awkward scenario. He's playing it how you should play it, which is you don't reveal any of your cards unless you have to. Or if there's like sometimes like it's a great coaching move to put a little bit of pressure on a guy publicly. But I rarely see that as a general manager's job. And if it is, I just don't think the Knicks are that's more so in a position where you're going to go win a championship. Where the Knicks are at currently, I don't really see how it could possibly help them to come out and just put negative stuff out there, especially in a market that's pretty hungry for that as is. So I've never really had an issue with it. It's weird. We've almost like it is. It seems like a big topic in Knicks land. We've almost never really covered on the show. But I don't know about you, Alex. I've never had any desire to be like, I just need to hear what Leon Rhodes thinks about this, and this.
Yeah, I don't either. And the reality too. And look, I like a lot of the guys on the beat and the work that they do. And I think some of them are really talented writers. And I mean, we've praised like Ian Begley a million times, like Mark Berman, I think really does a great job of finding stories where you wouldn't think there are stories and stuff like that. And I can understand, you know, I've said this before too. I can understand the media members being upset at, say, like locker room access not being restored yet, because I think that they should at least get like post game locker room access or something, because you should have an opportunity to approach a player. Like Bondi said at one point this year, like if we had been allowed in the locker rooms, I might have had a story about Derrick Rose's like big red knit fez hat that he wore like every single game. Because otherwise there just was no avenue to be like, hey Derrick, what's the deal with this hat? You know, like, did someone make it for you? Like, what's the deal here? And so, you know, that part, I think, deserves like to be talked about, but that's more of a league thing. Like as of right now, the league still has not turned that back on yet after COVID. But to hear, you know, again, yeah, like the Mark Steins of the world or people on the Knicks beat or whatever talk like they're going to go out there like Woodward and Bernstein, or like they're going to be like Tom Cruise and a few good men and like just berate Leon so hard and ask him such tough questions, he's going to crack and spill all the secrets. It's just not going to happen. We see these guys talk to Tom Thibodeau every day where they actually get pretty comfortable with him. They don't even ask him the tough questions. So I'm like, am I really supposed to believe that you're going to go out there and like grill Leon Rose about, you know, Julius Randle and ask anything other than like, hey, what's the deal with Julius right now? And then when he gives you a platitude to actually press on that, no, it's not going to happen. Like, because these guys, the reality is that they have some sourcing within the organization too, whether it's from Leon's camp or Tibbs's or whatever, that also butters their bread and gives them scoops that let them, you know, report exclusives and keep their jobs. So it's all stupid. I've always thought that that whole gripe is really dumb. And as you said, Gavin, the most important thing is that it's always disingenuously framed as like Leon Rose owes this to the fans. And there's like such a small contingent of fans that actually cares about that. Most fans, when that comes up, literally just say, I don't care what he says. I just care what he does. And as of right now, his actions, as we've said a number of times, have been pretty defensible so far. And he's put together, you know, if a little bit of a troubled team this year, he has put together a team that has options going forward, has draft capital going forward, and has promising young players going forward. And that is honestly all that matters to fans more so than the media availability. So to get back to the crux of the overall question, I don't think making themselves more available to the media would do anything. And I'm perfectly fine with the Knicks media policy as it is right now.
Yeah. I'll end it on this. I'd love to hear from the Knicks fans who want to hear from Leon Rose and tell me why, and tell me what you expect to get from that opportunity, because I've just never understood it. On that happy note, we'll wrap up this edition of Locked on Knicks. Again, shout out to everyone for asking such great questions. I can't remember the last time we've gotten four parts out of a mailbag, so really we do appreciate it, especially in the offseason. It is a huge help. If you want to continue to help us, throw us a subscription on YouTube. Continue to listen every day. Throw us a five-star review. Write us something funny. I check them out a decent amount, and it really is a big help and allows us to keep doing this 5 days a week. But until next time, he's Alex. I'm Gavin. Be good. Talk to you soon. Peace out.